If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps is for you. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for.
This is Master Obi-Wan Kenobi. I regret to report that both our Jedi Order and the Republic have fallen. Our future is uncertain. But in time, a new hope will emerge.
Coffee with Kenobi presents Rebels Reactions with Dan Z and Corey Club.
All troopers, focus your fire on... on the Jedi.
Come with us. Learn what it truly means to be a Jedi.
I'm in space! And I'm about to die!
We need an opening.
Found one!
What did he say?
He said hello, hyperspace.
Oh, and guess what? This is the podcast you're looking for.
Hello and welcome to Rebels Reaction, a special Rebels Reaction today where we have a roundtable discussion talking about what we have learned from the Rebels panel and the Season 3 trailer, which was released at Celebration Europe there in London just this past week. So joining us today, we have an all-star cast joining us. It couldn't get bigger than this. This is this kind of discussion that... requires a huge group. So let's get everybody brought in here. Starting right off the bat, returning to Rebels Reactions, we have Jay Krebs.
Hey everybody, how's it going? So excited to be here tonight and break this down and talk to everybody.
Yes, it's great to have you back, Jay. Also joining us again, we have Mike McDonald. Mike, how you doing?
Good, Aaron. Hi everybody. Let's talk some Rebels tonight.
Oh, we plan to. We got a lot to talk about. Joining us also is the lovely Rebecca Benjamin. How are you, darling?
I am great. I am honored to be here tonight, guys. Thanks so much for having me. I have my own little seat on this little round table. It's going to be great talking Rebels.
Oh, it is going to be fun. And last but not least, another one of our famous Coffee with Kenobi bloggers. You know him because he does all of our blog reviews of Rebels via Rebel Reconnaissance. Mr. Craig Dickinson, how are you, sir?
Very good, Aaron. Good to be here. Very excited to dive in.
All right. Well, it's good to have all of you joining us tonight. I know this was a short notice conversation, but I am glad everybody could make it. And we're in for one treat of a conversation because, man, if they couldn't have given us any more information, we would have been in heaven, as we already are. So we have this wonderful teaser that just was released, this trailer of Season 3, which was released here at Celebration London, Celebration Europe there in London. And I tell you, there is so much stuff going to be happening Season 3. There's probably not enough time to cover it all. But we're going to do the best we can here, as we always do. And let's just jump right in. We have the return of our crew, and obviously from, if you've seen the trailer, if you haven't, stop, go watch it real quick, because I don't know why you'd be listening to Rebels Reactions if you have not seen this trailer. So go see it. Pause for a second. Go see it. Welcome back. Now that you've seen it, let's go into it. We see our crew back with a whole array of different types of looks. And most notably, of course, is Ezra. Ezra has grown up. We've got quite a bit. New haircut, new look. Of course, definitely advancing into his teenage years. And now, of course, I will relegate that to some of our people here who have teenagers. Mine are not. No way near that age. But we definitely see some growth in him. When you first saw Ezra, what was your first opinion, Becca?
The first thing that caught my attention a little ways into it was the reverse looks in between Kanan and Ezra. Kanan used to be the clean cut, well-shaven guy. You know, everything was just so, and now it's Ezra. Everything is in its place. His hair is clean cut. He's, you know, clean-faced. It was amazing to see that because it almost brought me back to that Phantom Menace era with Obi-Wan, all clean-shaven, hair neatly, you know, shaven back, a little bit of a, you know, whatever going on. Just, you know, everything fit together. Ezra's little quirky awkwardness about how his clothes sagged here and there and his hair, that's gone. He looks confident. He's ready to get in this and literally kick some Imperial butt. Like, he is ready to go. I was impressed and I liked it. And I also noticed a new lightsaber in hand too. So, gotta love that.
Absolutely. We've seen quite a bit of growth from him in this trailer, including that new green lightsaber he has now. Craig, what was your impression of Ezra when he first appeared?
Yeah, the haircut was really interesting. It's so close shaven, and it is very reminiscent of like the Padawan haircut, except for it doesn't have the braid and the ponytail in the back. But he just looks very serious, almost militaristic. In a sense, going through the trailer and seeing how he's learning things from the holocron, it just seems like he's taken on a new focus where everything else is just kind of sliding away, and he's just becoming just very narrow-minded in his purpose. And you kind of hear a little bit of that in the trailer too about his purpose in keeping his friends safe. So it's like everything else is just kind of slid away, and he's very utilitarian at this point.
Exactly. We even hear Kanan say at one point in the trailer that the holocron is changing him. And we're talking, of course, the Sith holocron, which he took at the end of season two from the Sith temple there. When the last time is we saw Ahsoka there, too. Mike, let's look at Kanan, of course, because we have some big changes with Kanan. He lost his sight there at the end of season two. And, of course, he's had time to deal with that now and has completely changed his look because of that, too.
Yeah, he's wearing that mask now with the sort of the eye, what do you call that, the eye design. It looks almost like what Rex had on his helmet. The thing I like about it is you were saying earlier how he was more clean-cut in earlier seasons. Well, now it's almost like the two characters or priorities have shifted. Therefore, the looks have shifted too. The other thing with Kanan, I noticed if you watch his scenes in the trailer, and this really isn't character related, they've really nailed down the fact when you're looking at his body language, the way he looks, that he's sightless. He's kind of got his head cocked to the side, that sort of thing. But I love how the very first shot with him and the very first line is, as you said, battles leave scars, some you can't see. And the way he delivers it, I mean, it's kind of a, you know, maybe sort of a cliched kind of line to make. But the delivery of the line at the end of it, it just sounds so, I don't know what the word is for it. The way he says it, it's not like he's saying it as if he's teaching. It's more like he's experiencing it, if that makes sense.
He's talking about what life has taught him at this point.
Right.
And what he's walking, how he's looking out at life. And the mask is right up, or his mask, it definitely has those similar markings to that of Rex's helmet. And his beard and mustache really grabbed me, too, because we actually hear later in the trailer where or in some of the clips, not in the trailer, but in the clips from the actual panel, which we'll talk about here in a minute, too, where Maul, he has an interaction with Maul, and Maul just keeps calling him Master Jedi. Master Jedi. And this is something that he has now with that beard and everything. He has more of that master role at that point. He fits that old school Jedi role as a master at that point. So definitely we see some changes there, but he's not the only one that we're seeing changes from. Jay, we have our favorite Mandalorian is changing up her looks too.
Oh, Sabine. Yes, definitely. And, you know, her hair, of course, is changing every season. And it was funny because, you know, as you talked about the panel, this is one thing that I have to mention, is that Tia Sakaar was talking about how Dave Filoni had actually come to her after season one and said, well, what kind of changes would you like to see? And so she actually wanted this hairstyle for season two, and she didn't get it. So, you know, now it's like one of those things where it's evolved, and he's finally taken her idea for this. But yeah, so that's great. And I love it. I love how she evolves and changes all the time. And, you know, and it goes along with her personality as far as being an artist and, you know, being artistic and her expression and the way that she changes her armor and her clothing. And Becca, I know you had mentioned, I believe in our conversation prior, that her pauldron has the Convoree on it.
Yes.
As a, you know, as a throwback to almost like an homage to Ahsoka, or,
yeah,
you know,
I call
we
it like
see
passing
that.
The torch. Yeah.
Right. Right. So that's an interesting thing. Of course, she has her gadgets now, as she calls them. So she finally got her jetpack, which is amazing. I mean, it's amazing to see her use that and that other thing, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But those markings you guys were talking about, they're called Jedi's. And
okay.
And David actually, sure, no problem. And David actually talked about that too, that was, because there was a question that came up and that someone had asked, you know, was that just an aesthetic choice? Is there a reason for that? And Dave actually put it beautifully. And he said, well, one of the things, you know, especially with Kanan now being blind, is that you need a point of reference. You need somewhere to kind of look at him. So those Jedi's give him that point of reference that we as the viewers need. And he also mentioned that was an homage or a throwback also to Rex, in the way that he and Rex kind of, you know, started with a stormy relationship. And this was almost Kanan's way of bringing that full circle. And kind of now he's seeing things through Rex's eyes. So I thought that was really touching.
Mm-hmm. Very much, very much. And I'd missed the questions I did not get to watch in the panel. And I still have them queued up on my computer to watch. I just ran out of time with everything. So definitely I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's definitely good information to have. And it's nice to know, because moving on from Kanan, and we talked about Sabine, we've talked about Ezra. We are missing, of course, at this point, some our other main characters. We have, of course, Zeb, and we have Hera, both of who had some modest changes in their mm-hmm. their looks this season. Of course, we're have Hera, of course, now becoming a more of a leader in the now upcoming rebellion as it's getting started. And of course now she's got some rank insignias that we would recognize from, of course, our rebels there. And we have less armor for Zeb. He's got wearing a tank top now and just hauling away there. Any thoughts on those changes for those two characters?
Well, one of the things, again, that Dave had said about Zeb specifically was that they were trying to get more into the idea of the New Hope. And being a New Hope, the aliens look different and the feel is different. And so that was actually one of the reasons for that change, which I thought was really interesting.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, I do recall him saying that during the panel there. I mean, definitely go back through season. If you haven't watched any of the celebration panels, definitely go back and hit them up, because you got a lot of fun information in there. It's just a lot of fun to watch. But find the Rebels panel in the day two of celebration cast. I know it's a 10-hour long video, but scroll up to about 6 hours, you'll find it.
Yep.
It's right there. Just past halfway, but watch it. You'll have a lot of fun. It's a lot, very entertaining, hosted by our favorite Ewok, Warwick Davis. So a lot of fun there. Now we got to see in this, of course, in this trailer, a lot of returning characters. We know, we saw, of course, Rex is back. We know he's here, fighting with our crew. We know, of course, we see the return of Hondo Ohnaka in our clips as well. So we got a lot of returning characters, but then we see a lot of new characters coming through that are introduced in this trailer. And let's try to dig into these new characters a little bit. We see, of course, before we do that, we got returning characters. Of course, we have Maul returning as well. We have not seen the end of Darth Maul, apparently, after the end of that season 2 finale, because he's in this trailer as well. Mm-hmm. And before we go any further, let's talk about Maul for a second, because he still seems to be a bit obsessed with Ezra from the clips that are shown in the panel. And, of course, from what we see in the teaser, he is still wants Ezra to essentially join him at this point, from what we can see. At this point with him still continuing to pursue this, where is Maul trying to get to at this point? Craig, what are your thoughts on Maul still pursuing Ezra at this point?
Yeah, that was really interesting. I'm seeing some of the clips during the panel scene, especially that they showed, not to give too much away, but where Maul had actually established a base and had taken Hera and Sabine and Zeb prisoner. It looks like and he had robots that was working for him, and who knows how many other people working for him. He seems to be trying to reestablish his power base and maybe even to make, I don't want to speculate too much, but even to make another move to kind of reestablish what he had in the Clone Wars with the Shadow Collective and needing to have that, you know, that second in command, to have that apprentice to bring Ezra into maybe that place where Savage was. But it looks like he has an end game. That's the thing I'm getting from that, is he wants to make some kind of power play and needs Ezra to do it.
Well, definitely it'll be interesting to see where that end game takes him at this point, because we definitely have some hopefully we'll get some resolution in that this season as well. Mm-hmm. As time goes on. Now let's take a look at these new characters we have, because we got a whole slew of new characters that we're starting to see pop up through the trailer here. And of course we start with, of course, this Governor Price that we see, who oddly resembles the Russian from
Arena.
Kingdom of the Crystal
Arena Spalka.
Yes, mm-hmm. From Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
I caught that right away.
That was a good line. As soon as you posted that, I was like, what?
Yes. Do we like that though, or is that a little too on the nose?
Oh, I think that was definitely a throwback. I think it was just a little nod, you know, right. the connection between Lucasfilm and Disney. Just a little, you know, and for all we know, maybe it's Dave saying, "Hey George, I'm still thinking about you." You know, we don't know. I mean, yeah. It was cool though. I mean, I'm good with it. I'm on board.
I mean, she was
it,
a great so. Villain in the Crystal Skull movie. So yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
and of course, swagger. I love it.
Oh yeah, and of course, there was the Easter egg of Club Obi-Wan in Indiana Jones. So you know, right. why not throw a little Easter egg in there too? But sure. Promise me, Aaron, that we'll go back and talk about Maul a little more, because. Sure. I loves me some Maul, and I have some stuff I want to say. So just whenever we're ready, and if there's time, because I know that there's so much for us to talk. But I've been like chomping at the bit all day long, thinking I want to talk about Maul. I want to talk about Maul. So as long as we can get back to him, I'm good.
We'll definitely work our way back to Maul at that point. I promise you that.
Okay. If not, I'll just work my force mind tricks on you, and we'll just do it. So. Oh,
you got it. We okay. will. So we have, of course, the Governor Price, which the nod to Indiana Jones is definitely there, just in the looks. You know it is. And I'm sure Ed Dallista and Dan, of course, are giving their thumbs up for that nod there. But we are definitely see this new character. And our first impression of her, of course, is she is there with Moff Tarkin, Grand Moff Tarkin, who is, of course, discussing how the rebels are getting a little out of hand now and wants to know how the governor's going to deal with it. So we definitely get some information here. We don't find out where she's governor of yet. We don't know if she's governor of Lothal now, or if she was on one of the other planets that the rebels have been basing out of or and jumping to. We just know that she's there. For all we know, she could actually be governor of another planet we haven't seen yet.
Or a system, even.
Or a system, absolutely. Yeah,
for that close to A New Hope, no. When
exactly
they say they'll, regional governors will.
We'll be taking
have
over.
Direct
yeah.
control. Yeah. 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 So hopefully she's very powerful.
I think we've heard her name before. I know we have never seen her, but I'm fairly certain that we've heard the term or the name Governor Price before. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it was in Siege of Lothal that long
yes.
ago.
Yes. Okay. So she was governor there for, I think they said somewhere 14 years. So she was there for quite a long time. So her
she's definitely connected to Lothal.
History. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Perfect. Perfect. I'm glad somebody was making that connection because I missed that one. So that's why I got that's why I have y'all here.
That's why all the brains together.
Exactly.
Right. You got your back.
So I appreciate somebody does. So definitely interesting character there and how she handles things with Tarkin, who, of course, we see returning now again in the third season. Very interesting there. But then, of course, they talk about some cadets who want to defect from an Imperial Academy. And we get to be reunited with one of the best X-Wing pilots that we ever saw grace one of the TV any of the movie screens. Wedge Antilles is back.
Yay!
Yes.
And he was once an Imperial. I don't remember ever knowing that. Am I bad with that? I was excited
to
know
new.
That.
I think this is new to his story, actually.
I'm liking it. Okay, I'm just making sure it wasn't something that I should have known. I'd be like, oh, shame on me.
I thought about that too. I thought, am I supposed to know this? But
thank you. Okay, so I
wasn't
alone.
Feel better now.
Okay. And a TIE pilot. I mean, wow.
Exactly.
Like, whoa.
Yeah.
Those things can really move.
Yeah, thank you. That's what I was thinking. I'm thinking, wow, okay, he's like really like, wow, he's out there. He's up and he can do that. That's like, that's huge for his mm-hmm. character, for his backstory. It's very huge.
Oh,
especially when you go into Lost Stars and you see him talking to Thane, you know, giving the mm-hmm. whole kind of spiel about with the rebellion. You know what I mean? So it's all playing in my head. It's connecting now why he would be, you know, so up in arms about it and why it's such a big move and the cause, because he's seen firsthand, like literally firsthand from that other side. So it's pretty cool that we're getting to see that now. And again, because Dave is so beautiful at doing it. Thank you, Dave. He's connecting these gaps. He's the bridger literally of Star Wars. And I'm loving this. Everything neatly ties in and it connects and it just makes sense. So I'm sorry, I'm rambling, but this is great. I'm loving Wedge now even more.
I would love to see them start dropping in some of those. Well, especially because the next plot point is the stealing the Y-Wing squadron, and start dropping in more of the Rebel pilots. We saw the first Death Star battle, like Dutch Vander and, you know, Red Leader, all those kind of guys. Start dropping them into
Jack
the story.
Porkins.
Right.
There you go. Porkins, absolutely.
Yeah, Porkins. Mm-hmm. Porkins before the Twinkies, huh?
There you go.
can someone we don't know yet, but what are we looking at with that shot of Wedge that Sabine's in the picture? Is it a flashback? Is she
or
part
is she
of the extraction team? I'm not sure what. I actually looked at that and thought, well, why would they make someone look just like Sabine?
Well, yeah, and not to mention her hair is different. Again, it's all black.
Right.
So
right.
did
but
she
it's
just,
the same cut.
It is the
That's
same
what
cut.
We're seeing.
So is it recent and she does it just to I don't know. I was a little wondering that myself.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It can go many ways at that point as to mm-hmm. why we have somebody looking like Sabine in that picture. There's no it doesn't ever say that is Sabine. A lot of assumption is that it is. I could say she's undercover trying to get these cadets extracted. Or are we looking at a long lost relative?
Well, that's what I was going to say, because Dave Filoni did say on the panel, no, it wasn't him, it was Tia. She said that she has relatives.
Yes.
Or maybe she doesn't. She kind of like did the whole question mystery box thing on that. So Is this possibly a relative?
It's possible. Twin sister.
There are families in Star Wars, so this would not be anything new. So
twins are definitely a recurring theme. That's for sure.
It's true.
But I took the not to jump subjects here, but I took the whole relationship thing, relatives thing to mean, you know, House Vizsla. But
I know. But
that's the most logical connection.
Of course. But you know.
Which actually, well, we can go ahead and jump into that since we're talking about Sabine and her family and what she said in the panel. Because later on in the trailer, of course, we'll just jump ahead a little bit and go with straight into our Mandalorians there. Because we get a lot of Mandalorians in this teaser, in this trailer. And apparently there's going to be some interactions between Sabine and the Mandalorians. We get to see Mandalorians in the white armor as a, almost like a throwback to when they first designed the Boba Fett outfit. Mm-hmm. And they basically tribute those as Mandalorians who work for the Empire. And, of course, we see also the return of this famous saber from the Clone Wars. That got so much hype back in the day. The good Doc old Doc Saber. Yes. Yes. The one that caused Obi-Wan Kenobi so much grief. But yes, the Dark Saber is back, and we actually see Sabine wielding it. Mm-hmm. What is up with that?
Mm-hmm. And how did she get it?
Exactly.
Well, we did hear, I cannot think of his name, but I know he worked side by side with Satine's sister. With the Mandalorians. Remember, her sister was obviously part of the Mandalorian.
Bo-Katan?
Thank you. Yeah. I can't think of the gentleman that worked alongside her, but he's the one who, in that trailer, who was telling Sabine that he has such honor. Like, he, you know, he's honored by her that she kept the traditions. And I'm wondering if, you know, somehow from that conversation, passed down the saber at some point, because he definitely was giving her a heartfelt spiel, and she was touched by it. And Sabine doesn't get moved by a lot. We all know this. She's a tough chick. Yep. So that moved her. So I'm wondering, somehow she's obviously shown some great honor to where she's derived from, and they're seeing that. So this is going to be great, because I know Jay's like just tickled, because this is her thing, the Mandalorians. And I still need her to teach me and mentor me in the ways of the Mandalorian, because I'm not all up to date on that. But I am so thrilled to see that, from what we can see in the trailer, we are going to get backstory finally on this young lady. Yes. And I'm thrilled. Mm-hmm. You know, because she inspires me just with her hair, because I'm constantly playing now with my hair, too. So, you know, love the girl. But anyway, yeah, so I'm thinking somewhere there is a connection there. But I could be wrong, but where else could it have been all these years, right? So,
yeah. I'm excited about the white Mando armor. I hopefully we're finally going to see what was on the back of that, you know, Boba Fett action figure card back in the day that said that, you know, wearing the armor of the Mandalorians that were, you know, fought in the Clone Wars, that sort of thing. I never felt that whole storyline in the Clone Wars really played off that well. There was a lot of expectation, and I don't think they pulled it off very well. So I'm hoping to see, I'm hoping to see these guys kick some butt, especially in that retro vintage looking armor. And they've got jetpacks.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes, they
Yay,
do.
Yay, jetpacks. But, you know, and they have the Imperial slogan on their shoulder. So let's see them doing some damage finally.
Exactly. And it's going to be exciting. Anytime we get Mandalorians, it's a fun time. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing where they go with these Mandalorians and see how they get incorporated into Sabine's backstory, because definitely we want to see as much as we can and learn as much as we can of this crew, because we definitely have come to know them and love them here. So what we're going to do real quick is we're going to give Dan and Corey some time to talk real quick and tell us about the Topps trading card app.
If you are a huge Star Wars fan, and let's face it, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably are. And if you love collecting Star Wars, the Star Wars Card Trader app from Topps is for you.
The best part, the Star Wars Card Trader app features incredible images from the original trilogy, the prequels, the Clone Wars, Rebels, and The Force Awakens. Every era you love is included on the app.
It's easy and a lot of fun, too. Beloved characters, key scenes, and unforgettable moments are in every pack. Open the app every day and get free credits to spend on card packs from the Cantina, trade with your friends, and make new ones along the way as you continue to add to your Star Wars collection. And it's all free.
The variety makes it fun, too. So chase what you love. Some of the latest packs include poster series, classic comic book series, helmet variety packs, and so much more. There are even exclusive cards you can get by completing sets, as well as special inserts and even autograph opportunities. Don't worry about missing the cards you love either, as you sign up for notifications right on the app.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps can be downloaded for free from iTunes or Google Play. Be sure to download the app and start your collection today.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader app from Topps is available now. And remember, these are the cards you're looking for.
Thank you, Dan and Corey, for telling us about that trading card app. Definitely download it if you haven't already. It's definitely a lot of fun. You get some really cool artwork through there as well. Back into our conversation, though, we have the discussion, of course, with Commander Sato and our crew of building and beginning to build an assault fleet as they begin to get information from a newly released Hondo of a base where they can get a fleet of Y-Wings, which is good to see the good old-fashioned Y-Wing brought back into the picture here. And it gives us some background on how they acquired their fleet as well as we get closer to A New Hope there. So, with this base there, of course, in the Y-Wings, we see them wanting to build it, and we see Ezra's the one that's all gung-ho about stealing these ships. Of course, they definitely need the more ships, and of course, if they're getting pilots from a Imperial Academy, they got to have something for them to fly, I guess, right?
Yeah,
right.
That's true.
That still shot of all of them lined up is pretty spectacular to look at. It really is.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one thing they've never let us down with is the scenery and the artwork in these episodes. Mm-hmm. And we definitely get a good shot of just these Y-Wings just lined up ripe for the picking there. And definitely they are motivated to get those ships and get going. But then we get to see something. We're starting to see throwbacks to Clone Wars at this point. Because it appears, according to the trailer, looks like we have battle droids protecting these Y-Wings.
Mm-hmm. I know, that kind of came out of the blue for me. I didn't even really pick up on it until the second time that I watched it, because, of course, there was just so much going on. But then after I watched it a second time, I thought, okay, battle droids? This is interesting. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah,
it's a really interesting choice.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
You know what that made me think of is if you've ever played, I think it's Battlefront 2. I'm talking like PlayStation 2 era. There's one of the missions where you're taking the 501st through is they go to, I think it's to Mustafar and have to fight off one last battalion of battle droids that just went rogue. And for some reason that just, I don't know if it's any kind of reference to that, because clearly that's not canon anymore, but just having remnants of battle droids during basically the Galactic Civil War era. That was the only other time I'd seen that. So,
yeah.
Now that station that they're looking at, that's a Nemoidian design, isn't it? It looks like one of their.
Oh, there you go then.
There you go. Yeah.
That's why I thought maybe it's maybe one of these things where they get to the place and activate. You know, they flip a switch and whoops, we've turned on the battle droids. I wonder if maybe that'll be what happens.
Very well could be, but
yeah, that makes sense.
Well could be. Makes a lot of sense.
Well, and don't forget, too, at this point in time where we are in the timeline, the Imperials had money, so they could recreate these or keep them, you know, keep them up to date or remodify them because they had the money. I mean, it wasn't until way after Return of the Jedi where they didn't. So right now they have the money and the Rebellion really doesn't. So they have the funds. That's why we see our Rebels, of course, trying to possibly steal because they don't have the funds to have their own. So I don't know. That was something I thought of too, that, you know, they have the funding right now. So, you know,
exactly.
Got the money, you can get the weapons.
Got the money, honey. I got the time.
Exactly.
And, of course, with the battle droids, Rex seems like he's right at home at this point, fighting off some good old battle droids just like in the good old days.
Oh, sure. That's right in his wheelhouse right there.
Oh, exactly.
Now, is he tossing it? Is that one of those droid poppers?
That's what I thought it was.
Yeah, yeah. That wouldn't it be funny if the two Jedi jump into battle and he tosses this over their heads and shuts them all down?
It would be nice to see something like that. They just kind of turn and look at him at that point. Well, Kanan's not looking at him, but
he's feeling it through the force.
Too soon.
Oh, you know what? I just spoiled my own theory. If you go a little bit further, he does throw it in and blows them up. I didn't realize that until just now.
Well, now we know.
Oh, that's what's so much fun about this.
And Aaron, I want to say one thing too, just to jump in real quick before I forget, because it's right on the edge of my mind, and you know, it's my mind is like a cliff. You fall off, and you never know what you're going to find down there. But when we were talking about Commander Sato, it reminded me of them standing around the table and the holograph table, and you see the symbol pop up, and it's Ahsoka's face markings. Did you guys notice that?
I was going to ask about that because I thought it looked a lot like Ahsoka's markings, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, it pops right up in the middle of the table as they're, you know, the strategy table or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, that's when they get the message about the defecting cadets from the Imperial Academy.
So that's the fulcrum symbol that, you know, I think that they're using, which is really cool.
Well, let's talk about that. We got Ahsoka symbol on the table. We obviously don't know what's happened to Ahsoka at the end of this finale of season two. So everybody has been clamoring. They want to know if she's alive or if she's gone. And Dave gave us in the panel the very first question. God bless Warwick Davis for this. He held no punches back. His very first question out of the gate was, is Ahsoka alive or dead?
Yep. Blunt.
Blunt. Straight to the point. But what do you expect from Wicket? He just gets right to the point. He wants to know the answer. And Dave gave us a roundabout answer, as Dave always does, basically saying that he doesn't know how we will see her again, but we probably have not seen the last of Ahsoka.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
That made me so happy.
And he did also follow that up by saying, he said it jokingly. He says, well, it could be in a flashback. But then he said, well, no, that's the cheap way out. It probably won't be that way. So, yeah, her story is not done.
Yeah,
no.
Exactly. He also says something along the lines of, too, if he did a flashback, that nobody would forgive him for that.
I'm glad he's keeping that in the back of his mind before he puts something out there. That's always nice. I mean, he's thinking of us.
Oh, he is. And definitely with that coming up, that definitely was something that I think a lot of people needed to hear, because it left that it gave us a roundabout answer that we have something to hope for in the future. Dave essentially gave us a new hope. So,
yes. Well, did you see the Topps trading cards? They show them at the Ahsoka
Until
the tales. Thank you. My
You're
brain
welcome.
Was not working there for a second.
It's my favorite panel.
But it was beautifully done. But the Topps digital cards that he did, that Dave sketched, and both of them kind of give you glimpses of possibly what could be. And they're in black, white, and red. And the one looks like Ahsoka's waist deep in some sort of liquid, water, fluid. We don't know. And then the other one, she's standing, but in the background, there's a white convoy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those two things, I mean, those are, you know, trading cards. So are there.
And they're designed by Dave.
And they're designed by Dave. Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, it lends your thinking towards, okay, what's he trying to tell us here?
Dave is good at telling us things without telling us things. And he's a master of that. I have learned over the years. So we can, there is no way we'll, until we actually find out, there's probably no way we'll ever guess what he's trying to tell us. Because I'm sure the message is hidden loud and clear in there. We're just all speculating in all different realms at this point. Mm-hmm. So definitely, Dave, and I missed that, those trading cards. I missed that.
They're beautifully panel. Done because, as Jay said, and I have to say this, otherwise I'm just going to, like, kick myself later for not saying it. She said that in the one card, Ahsoka is waist deep into some sort of fluid. And the cards are all backdropped in crimson, which I find is metaphoric. I'm sorry. And then you see her submerged in white. Again, symbolic. But she's waist deep. And all I kept thinking of is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? That's my take on that, because I know he's, you know, giving us that open-ended questions, and let's be honest, that's what they want us to do. That's the fun for them. But like I said, that's exactly what I thought of, that whole glass half empty or half full. What's your take on it? You know, you can go either way with it. So maybe I'm off, but
in my thought, there's a song quote, and it's waist deep in the big muddy. Where she's mired. I think the one card, you know, when we saw the end of last season, she's walking, you know, into the doorway. But that card, you know, confirms her coming in, and she's walking downstairs, or at least she's standing at the top of a staircase. Mm-hmm. So I like to think that she's gone, you know, down. She's digging in. She's, you know, up to her eyeballs in it, sort of thing.
Yes, she is.
I think she's working. You know, we saw her as Fulcrum. Well, we didn't see her as Fulcrum. As Fulcrum, she was working behind the scenes. I think she's doing the same thing on like a whole different level now. This is what I want.
I'm on board with that. Works for me.
I am good with that.
Then.
I am good with that too. I don't think anybody's ever ready to see Ahsoka go. So definitely knowing that. We will see her again. Definitely gives us that hope. Now, two people. There's two more people we need to talk about in this trailer that we need to discuss real quick. And of course, they were talked about heavily in the Rebels panel with Dave as well. Is we have a new character that's revealed. They call Bindu.
Mm-hmm.
This is apparently a force wielder who is not dark side. He's not light side. He's apparently a middle of the road force guy.
He's a balance.
He is balanced. He is balanced at this point. And of course, voiced by another doctor from Doctor Who. If you're a Doctor Who fan, the fourth doctor, I can't remember his name, but the fourth doctor does.
Tom Baker.
Thank you.
There it is.
It was on the tip of my tongue there. I knew Tom, but I couldn't remember the last name. But Tom Baker is back, is joining the Star Wars world, voicing this character, Bindu. What are your thoughts about this type of force-wielding character, Craig?
Well, you know, one of the first things that I thought about when I heard Bindu, I'd heard that term before because I'd seen different things with the earlier drafts and that being part of the Jedi word. Jedi Bindu, Mace Windu was one of the ones that came right to me. And then thinking of it in the middle, I thought Kylo Ren and the connection there with we've heard that Snoke is interested in him because that he is equally strong in both the light and the dark side of the Force and being that balance. And then anytime you go to balance, you think Anakin Skywalker and getting really what that actually means to be that balance is it's huge. It's big. So it'll be interesting to see where this character goes and what that really tells us about the nature of the Force. But I don't know. It's another mystery.
And definitely it is. And it's going to be interesting to see where they take this character. Because obviously, as you can see in the trailer, he dwarfs everybody. He's a massive creature. So it'll be interesting to see how they grow. And what the story is behind this Bindu. And a very interesting connection that you mentioned, Craig, to Kylo at that point. This be a tie-in to The Force Awakens or something we see in the future. or some of the future movies as well, because we do know this season is going to tie into the movies. Everybody assumes primarily Rogue One, but there could be future ties as well. We don't know yet till they happen. So,
and if I can jump in on that too there, Aaron, just hearing you guys talking and mentioning Rogue One, I was thinking about this, you know, with the way that the Force is portrayed between the Clone Wars and the Mortis arc, and now we're getting this, the Bendu, and even in Rogue One, they're talking about the planet Jeddah, where there are Force believers that basically go to this planet almost as a pilgrimage, to where they still believe in the Force, even though technically there's no more Jedi and, you know, and this, that, and the other. So the Force is obviously an entity in and of itself, just like religion takes so many different forms around the world. So it makes sense that the Bendu would be that balance. And in regard to his size, you know, it's almost indicative or maybe representative of the way that, you know, that is all-encompassing in a way. But I guess, you know, as Yoda says, size matters not, or, you know, should it? But in this way, I think it serves the purpose very well.
Oh, I agree. And I was definitely getting a Neverending Story vibe out of the character look. I don't know why, but
ooh,
I did.
Nice.
I know. Sorry, I can't help it. My mind goes to these things. But I also wanted to point out, because totally kindred spirits, I was thinking of the whole, what Snoke says about Kylo, when you look into the balance with the Bendu. What's interesting, though, is if you know, because we're all watching this stuff and you can't help it, when it's something new, you want to Google it and see what it means and look at all its origins. If you know, Google Bendu and the Wikipedia comes up, and the symbol for it is very similar to what we see with the First Order symbol. A couple things missing, but I thought that was interesting. It's just a circular figure with eight spokes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, in a sense, reminiscent to what you see the First Order have, only different coloration and a couple more things. But it's interesting, because you wonder where they're going with this. And his size, I kept thinking of, he's enormous, because the Force itself, as Yoda says, it's everywhere. So why wouldn't he be enormous if he's supposed to represent the balance of the Force itself, neither light and no dark? It's like I said, it's all coming together, and I'm just very curious about where they're going with this, because obviously it's Ezra that's there, and he's definitely, Ezra's changed, like you guys said, with the whole Kanan and Ezra thing. And Kanan's more, he wants to know, he wants to figure out how to solve this problem, and he doesn't, at this point, he's into finding out how he can fix it, and he's not really they're concerned with how it's fixed, as long as he finds a way to fix it, if that makes sense. Very reminiscent of Anakin. And I'm loving that, because it's all, again, not only is Star Wars about family, it's all about your choices. And that's what we're going to see. And we've been seeing it as Ezra goes along. Everything that he does is all about choices. No matter which way you go, there's always a consequence. So I'm loving this. I'm sorry. Tangent again, but the Bendu thing is awesome, and I want to see more. We only got that like split second of it, so I'm always curious to know where they're going with the Force, you know.
Oh no, absolutely, that's definitely always something to see, because we've seen every time we get a new episode of whether a new movie or whether a new episode of whether it's the Clone Wars or now Rebels, we see and learn something new. And it's about the Star Wars universe. And we always see it. We've seen a lot of growth in the Force and in the story of the Force from back in the beginning in the 77 movie through now. It has evolved so much. And can't wait to see how they're going to evolve at this next step in the story, which is going to be fun to see.
If I can
go right ahead,
make a comment. I'm actually afraid of the whole of Bendu.
Okay.
Does anyone see sort of like I don't know what type, an ungulate type of animal, like a goat, that sort of look in his face?
Mm-hmm.
The shape of his nose.
Yeah.
And you're mentioning his size. So his look, his size, the fact that he's voiced by somebody, you know, sort of a beloved actor of a beloved character. I think we're being snowed.
I think there's something evil about him, because his look to me is because there's that sort of cloven hoof kind of animal look. I almost feels like there's almost like a devil type demonic.
So you're saying a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah. Kind of yeah. Thing. Sure. Okay. Right.
I'm surprised Dave didn't use a wolf.
Yep.
Well, you know
that will happen. I bet.
It's going to happen eventually. Yeah. It's Dave.
It's Dave.
It's Dave.
It'll show up.
There's basically two shots with Kanan and Bendu. The one shot, Kanan's on his knees as if he's supplicated towards him. So you wonder if he's on some sort of pilgrimage by himself and he has sought him out, that sort of thing. But, I mean, we've seen the Force in physical form, like with Mortis and I want to call them the Wills from the last season, but I don't think I have the right name, those female characters that,
yeah,
you know, but this is just, I don't know. I don't trust what we're seeing. And to say he's in the middle.
Interesting. Yeah. So you think it's all a ruse?
I kind of do. Based on his look, I kind of do.
Well, he does look to me. The first thing I thought wasn't goat. It was bull. But, you know, we had a dairy farm for how many years? So, you know, I saw bovine in that moment. Right. But yeah, no, I get where you're coming from. And that's an interesting perspective.
So, I mean, I'll be revealed. But, you know, you Tom Baker is the voice. Well, how could he be a bad guy? But don't forget Mark Hamill voiced the Sith Lord, right? So
yes, he did.
And the Joker.
And the Joker, yep.
And the Joker.
So, you know. So,
appearances can be deceiving.
Yes, they can. Yep. And we only got a split second of it. We really didn't get a lot to go on. So
right.
Well, that's what's amazing about this trailer. They give us a split second of so much stuff that you were left speculating on a ton of stuff. But let's proceed, because what got the biggest pop in this trailer was something that a lot of people had speculated had been coming for a little over a year now, and they've hinted at it before Celebration with his tweet of a Star Wars book, and said some truths for found in Legends. As we got the reveal of probably one of the most popular characters from what is now the Legends line, now being canonized in Star Wars Rebels, as we have the introduction of the one and the only Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Yes, and the crowd goes wild.
I know. Wasn't that like the most amazing, thrilling thing to hear when you're watching? It's like you're there and everyone's going, yes.
You know? I got chills.
I did
big
too.
Time.
You know, amazing. Again, another crossover for Star Wars. And this is like a huge crossover because you're taking someone who wasn't even, you know, known as being canon anymore. And then you're crossing over into the canon side. So this is cool. Loving it.
Oh, absolutely. This has been, Thrawn has always been, my knowledge of the EU is limited, but out of everything I've read, Thrawn has always been my favorite character to come out of that, right up there with Mara Jade. And now that we got Thrawn, I flipped. My phone went nuts when that announcement was made.
Mm-hmm. And it didn't make everybody happy, of course. There's always the Thrawn haters out there, and there always will be. But one thing that Dave said that I thought really hit home was, and I think the reason why Thrawn is so beloved to all of us and he's so well loved is just because of the fact that he was the big character that was introduced during the dark times. You know, there was nothing. And
exactly.
These storylines came out and Timothy Zahn brought us this great trilogy of books, and it was just like, whoa, this is amazing. I have a little Thrawn action figure somewhere in my basement put away, because when we moved, I still haven't gotten everything out. So now I like want to rip apart all these boxes and try to just pull it out just so I can stare at him.
Well, if it makes you feel better, I'm doing that right now with mine. Matter of fact, he moved from my regular action figure shelf, and he's been moved out of that into my Rebel shelf now, because that's nice. Where he's going to belong now.
Yeah. Well, I'm almost tempted to go to my local vintage toy store, because they have these, I think it's the Sideshow The big figures that are just absolutely beautiful. Hot Toys, one of the two of them that makes it. And I'm sure they're probably putting a big old price on him now. Just just want to see what they've done with that price, because I'm sure that his market value has gone boom right through
the roof. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And it definitely it's quite exciting to see. And it seems from what you hear of Thrawn talking in this trailer and from what they discussed, it seems that they're keeping him as true as they can to what his character was in the book. Mm-hmm. The analytical mastermind and military genius that he was in the books is being carried over into the show. Granted, stories are going to change. I mean, everything else is the story itself is gone, but it seems that the mastermind genius himself has been resurrected.
Oh, absolutely. And that line itself was chilling. And I know Jay was probably just like giddy, like a schoolgirl.
You know me well.
Oh, yeah. Well, we could do a whole show on that. But anyway, that whole line gave me chills when you hear him saying, in order to defeat your enemy, you must know them.
Thank you.
That was beautifully done. I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. Now you know why Sheev picked this person. First of all, he's not human. And Sheev is very, I'm sorry to say it, even in the Star Wars world, prejudice is out there. Mm-hmm. Sheev was very prejudiced. He wanted his humans, and he picked Thrawn for a reason. He's tactical. He's smart. He's strategic. He knows how to get the info to do the job. And I think Tarkin's going to have a little jealousy going on with that. And I'm hoping for it. I am. Mm-hmm. I really am.
Well, I love how, you know, and I think, and Aaron, as you said this too, that, you know, he, just in that little snippet that we got, you feel that character of Thrawn, because as he said, and as you just said, Becca, he's standing there and he's studying those murals and he's looking at, he says, you know, you must understand their art and their music and their history in order to understand your enemy. I mean, that's Thrawn to a T, and they couldn't have done it any better. But it's interesting because, you know, are they going to... Did they call him a Chiss? Because if this is true, then this is going to also open up a whole new world. A whole new world. Sorry.
It is owned by Disney now.
Exactly. So we got rid of the Aladdin hair and Ezra and now, you know. But anyway, but with the Chiss, I mean, again, this is a different world. So are we once again expanding our galaxy? And is our Atlas going to get just that much bigger?
It should. Why not? Yeah. I mean, did they say it, though? I don't recall hearing that. Did they say his species at all in the...
I don't think they did yet.
I mean, that could be something when they discuss... Now, if all you recall, at the end of season two, there was an interview that came out. I can't remember who posted the interview, but it was with Dave Filoni. And he did say, you will be happy to see somebody... You know, a character that we're bringing back, it'll be reimagined, blah, blah, blah. Now, from what we can see just on the outside of this character, he looks exactly how we know him, you know. So what is going to be different? Is it going to be the species? Are they going to change the name of it? We don't know. And does it really matter at this point if they call it something else? That's my question, too.
But let me preface it with this. Maybe this isn't the character Dave was talking about. Maybe there's somebody else that we are going to see who has not been mentioned yet.
Natasi Dalla. Come on, baby. Admiral Dalla.
There
she would be
go.
Perfect. I mean, it's the perfect timeline. And could you see her, you know, with the banter between her and Tarkin? Because if you know anything about the EU, you know that they had a little thing.
Yep.
So, you know, that would be interesting, too, to bring in. And another, you know, another female character, too. So,
I have a question about Thrawn from the books, just because it's been a while. Was he unknown to the Alliance when the Thrawn trilogy came out?
Good question.
I believe so, yes.
Right. Like almost like we saw... in this trailer where it was, you know, they were a lot more organized this time. We don't know who's in charge, but, what I liked in the trailer is that the Ghost crew know this guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Harris is scared of him.
And Admiral Thrawn.
So, but he's from the Outer Rim. Is that correct? That's where he made his name.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that ties in too. But I just that scene, yeah, where Harris says, "Oh, Grand Admiral Thrawn," then. Oh, I'm forgetting names. I'm staring right at him. Zeb says Carabas. There you go. Thank you.
As Zeb tends to do.
Yes, he does.
I just like that. It's if you're not familiar with who Thrawn is, it's now you know that it's important to the rebels.
Mm-hmm.
Right off the bat, they know him. So,
yeah, whether you've read the books or not, you are going to you now fear this guy.
Yeah.
Because you see not only the as you mentioned, Hera speaks his name and is not happy. Zeb is not thrilled about it. You even see some dismay in Sabine's face. And you actually see, we see the return of Hera's father in this as well. His name just slipped my mind.
Cham
Syndulla. There you go.
Thank you.
I knew Jay would back me up on that one. Well, we did review that episode together. But we have Cham Syndulla returning, and he's talking about how he just it was how this they were so organized, and he didn't have a chance. So you get this sense of fear of this man right off the bat, and the way they have him carrying himself through this, as you see the glimpses of him through this trailer, the way he's carrying himself, he's carrying himself in a way that demands the respect that if you know his story from the expanded universe, you already have given him. And he's coming in demanding that same respect right off the bat. So if you haven't read the books, you are going to enjoy this character there.
One thing, though, that I love that Star Wars is doing in general right now, though, is that, you know, even with The Force Awakens, yes, it's great to have history. It's great to have that prior knowledge, but it's not absolutely necessary. You're still going to understand who this person is. And I'm sure, you know, with the way that Dave Filoni and the story group are going to tell this, that, yeah, it's great to have read the books. But, you know, there again, I don't know that it's absolutely necessary to do so, because, of course, there's going to be some character changes. And, you know, one of the things that Dave talked about and that we do see is the Ysala Mary that he has mm-hmm. on his shoulder. And Dave said, no, they're, you know, we're not going to put that animal in there. However, the way that they introduce Thrawn, you see those two little like lizard like things sort of positioned on his shoulder in the shot. So it's that mm-hmm. little, you know, throwback, that little Easter egg to those of us who know and love the EU, now Legends, but you don't have to know it to appreciate it, which I think is great.
Absolutely. And that was backed up today on the official Star Wars site. There was a Q&A with Timothy Zahn. And what you just said there, Jay, was backed up completely, where they asked him, you know, are we going to see our old Thrawn come back into the fold? Is it going to be that same character traits and all that? And he basically said, you know, there will be nods, there will be Easter eggs, but, you know, it will not be, you know, because like you said, for those that have never read it or have never dabbled into that realm of the expanded universe, it won't matter that they haven't, because it'll be altogether a new story for this character with those nods and Easter eggs. And those that have loved him all these years will be like, oh, yeah, I know that. Mm-hmm. So, again, you can read that. It was a great little questionnaire. Of course, they keep it kind of vague, but it's, again, it's knowledge, and it will go a long way for those that, especially for those that don't know the character, like those that were a big fan of the Legends. So
exactly, it's going to be fun one way or another. And I'm glad you brought up that Q&A, because I have not seen that one yet. So I'm glad you brought that up, because as first I'd heard of that Q&A, and I'll have to go back and read up on that as soon as we're done here. So definitely a lot of interesting information, a lot of fun this third season is going to be, as it starts back up there. We're sitting here, we're running out of time. So what we're going to do is we're just going to go around the table and get some final thoughts about the third season. I know, Jay, we talked about wanted to talk about Maul some more, so we can include that in your final thoughts as well. Matter of fact, let's go ahead and start with you, Jay. Jay, what are your final thoughts concluding with this season here?
Well, I'm never going to have a final thought, but the thoughts just keep going and going and going. But no, this is it's fabulous. And, you know, and as it's so well done. I mean, you're looking at a weekly cartoon television show that has grasped our hearts and our minds and our psyches in such a way that we can't get enough of it. And just watching the evolution of these characters and just being excited for it, you know, I'm reduced to like my 10-year-old self all the time, you know, just squeeing and doing happy dances and everything else. And so, yeah, so I got to talk a little bit about Maul, and I promise I won't take too much time, but I love Darth Maul. And I know that he's not everyone's favorite character. And I've even seen on social media, you know, could we please stop talking about Darth Maul? The answer is no. No, we will not.
Sorry.
But, but to
at least
me,
you're honest.
You know, to me, his character is just so intriguing because, and I heard him being referenced as such to the Greek mythology character Sisyphus that was basically doomed for eternity to roll this boulder up the hill. And he was basically doomed by Zeus because he did some bad stuff. But he rolled this boulder up the hill only to get to the top of the hill and have it roll back down again. And then he rolls it to the top and it rolls back down.
Sounds like my life.
And it,
sorry.
And I think that's Maul to a T. You know, just as soon as he gets to a point where he thinks he's got things together and, you know, and he's good with the world, he gets cut down, no pun intended, again. And, you know, and also, you know, there's this thing, and I'm so into like philosophy and mythology and that type of thing. But in Chinese folklore, there's this thing called the Wu Gang, which is basically the equal to Sisyphus in Chinese folklore. And it's about this character who, and Becca, you're going to love this one, who is endlessly cutting down this self-healing tree. And what is Maul doing? He's constantly cutting down the goodness of the Force.
Yep.
So to me, it's like there's so much, and that goes all the way back to the Tang Dynasty. But there's so much that, and of course, you know, with Dave Filoni and with George Lucas and Star Wars in general, there's always these interconnections between these philosophies. So that's why I love Maul. So I'm stepping off my Maul soapbox now. But Rebels, yay! Season 3. Yay. Very excited. So I'm good. Who's next? Mic drop. Done.
There we go. Thank you, Jay. Mike, let's go with you next.
Well, I want to get to the end of the season 3 right now. I want to see how this plays out. You know, when we first got the announcement for Rebels a couple of years ago, I was very black and white because I thought, oh, we're going to see X-Wings, we're going to see pilots, we're going to see soldiers, and we didn't get any of that. And I don't know if I was disappointed, but I thought, oh, well, okay. And then they started quickly looking into the Force. We have Jedi, and I thought, well, how can we have Jedi? It's the dark times. And as the show's gone on, I instantly was starting to realize that what they're doing is it's almost as if they're preparing for Luke's arrival on the scene, where yes, it's the dark times, but there's this undercurrent that is sort of brought on by the light side, that's sort of creeping underneath the dark. So the buildup from all this Force powers, the Bendu, the Force has never gone away. It was just asleep. So episode 4 means we're going to see maybe the Force awakens, which of course we do in episode 4. So this is just this trailer has blown my mind because I can't believe this gets said so many times. We're talking about a kid show. We're talking about a cartoon, and like, bring it on, you know, bring it on. And let's talk about the end of the season when the end of the season gets here. I can't wait. Can't wait to see what it brings.
Very good. I don't know if I want the season to end already. But, you know, they put it on Netflix where I can binge watch it all in one day. You better believe I would do it. Take a day off work and just watch it two or three times. All right, Becca, what are your thoughts on the final thoughts on this season three trailer and panel that we've been discussing?
Oh, it's just fantastic. And it's, you know, it's one of those things I like you guys were just saying, going back to when they first introduced the show, and I was going through a lot of sorrow because Clone Wars was gone, and it was just, you know, something I was just so invested in. And then from the opening scene of Lothal on the very first show, I was already gravitated and sucked in. And it's interesting because it took me such a long time to become a Clone Wars fan. I wasn't instantly saying, okay, I'm on board with this. Because I remember being in the theater with my kids for the premiere, and it ended, and I was like, that's it? I literally said that. That's it? You know, and it took me years to get into it, and I absolutely love the Clone Wars, but Rebels, I just, it just called to me. I can't explain it. I've been sucked in from the beginning. The characters spoke to me, and I think it's because, unlike the prequels and unlike the Clone Wars, you knew it was at a time where good things were ending. There was no way out of it. Bad was going to happen. At least, you know, going into where we are now, there's so much hope. They're fighting so hard for this hope, and they have such belief. That feeling is there again. And you can't help but be sucked up into all that again. It's a moment of new beginnings. You know, tomorrow's a new day, and we're just going to, they're focused on that big picture. And there's just something to say about that. It gives you hope for yourself. You know, it's one of those shows where you can sit down with the entire family and you walk away from it feeling happy. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is great, you know, and it gives you that inspiration. And I'm just dying to find out what's going to happen to these characters because I am so invested in them. Hera is my favorite. Love her. She is the best pilot, in my opinion. And also knowing, and this I'm just going to throw out there, which probably really isn't that relevant, but to know that all around the world, no matter how you say anyone from this era or from anywhere in the saga, like Dave said, you're not saying it wrong. You can say Twi'lek, you can say Twi'lek. You know, it doesn't matter how you say it. It's correct. You're not wrong. So I'm just loving Rebels. I want to see where we're going, and I'm on board, man. Let's just go. Let's just get into it. Yay, Rebels.
Yay, Rebels indeed. And, of course, finally, Craig, your final thoughts, opinions on this trailer.
Wow. You know what? One of the great things about this show is that you can see exactly the same things and totally come away with different interpretations. Because I'm listening to Becca talk about how the hope, and I'm just thinking, this trailer was such a downer. Because, you know, it starts with the lightsaber sound, and then you hear Ezra shouting, Ahsoka. And I just watched the end of season two today to kind of get prepped for this too, because I wanted to have that kind of those two things side by side. And it just seems like Ahsoka, in one form or another, she's going to be present by her absence in this season, because her legacy is driving Ezra. You know, and he is obsessed with fighting back, with finishing what she started. You see, we've talked about Sabine having the bird on her shoulder, kind of following that legacy too. And it's just, everything is escalating. It seems the stronger that the Rebels get, the more the Empire pulls out different things. Last season, we saw Vader enter the scene, and now we've got Thrawn coming in, and the stakes just keep getting raised. And we keep saying it's a kid's show, but there's lasting consequences to things. You know, Kanan's blind, and that's not going to change. And all of these things that are just building toward, and we know where it's going. We know ultimately that there is going to be a new hope, and we'll get to the destruction of the first Death Star, and ultimately the Rebels will be victorious. But it's getting so dark too, and the dichotomy of those two things, I think, is just amazing.
It most definitely is, and we got a lot to look forward to when we're dealing with this upcoming season. Overall, for me, when I first watched this trailer, it left me speechless. I didn't know where I wanted to go, where we were going to go with this. And the announcement of Thrawn, the relationship between Maul and Ezra progressing, just the growth of our crew, it was just mind-boggling at the point that I saw this trailer, and I was just so enthralled by it. I can't wait to see where this is going, because we're going to have such a fun season, for sure. And, of course, for those of you who were at Celebration Europe, who got to see the first two episodes, I know they got to see the Thrawn episodes. I'm so jealous of you. More power to you. I'm happy for you and hate you at the same time. But more power to you. I'm glad you're able to go and see that. And you know what we're missing, and you know what we're anticipating. And everybody's just ready to go on this season whenever it begins. And we are looking forward to it. Now, of course, definitely I just want to take a moment. Thank each and every one of you, Jay, Rebecca, Mike, Craig, for joining us tonight. Real quick, go around a circle. We're going to let everybody know how to get in contact with you if they want to continue this Rebels discussion with you online or however it is you want them to. We'll go ahead and start with you, Jay.
All right. Well, you can find me most easily on Twitter. I'm a Twitter fiend. So I'm at Joyce Krebs, JoyceKrebs, all one word. You can also email me at Coffee with Kenobi. So I'm JK, it's JAYK, at coffeewithkenobi.com. And I'm also Rogue 7 at Star Wars in the Classroom. And I also do lots of Pinterest stuff with Star Wars and different types of things too. And that username is JAY6443. So I'd love to hear from you guys. And you can check out my blogs on Coffee with Kenobi. I have a regular blog that posts once a month. And I also have a weekly fashion blog review called Core Worlds Couture. So I'd love to see you guys. Love to have you stop by and share your thoughts with me.
Excellent. Thank you, Jay. Mike, you're up next. How can people get a hold of you if they want to continue this conversation?
You can email me at MikeM@CoffeeWithKenobi. You can also reach me at my website, MikeTarkin.com. That's also my Twitter handle, Mike Tarkin. I also write for RetroZap, where I do a series called Special Modifications about my Star Wars room. But like Jay, I'm mostly on Twitter. You can pretty much find me on Twitter.
Understand. Same here. Perfect. Becca, how about you?
Well, like everybody else, I'm going to follow suit. You can definitely find me the most on Twitter at URAngelB, and that is URANGELB, as I can spell. It's an ongoing thing I have with Jeff. But anyway, you can find me there. You can also find any of my musings of Star Wars on thecantinacast.net, also at coffeewithkenobi.com, and The Bearded Trio. You can find me there as well once a month. If you're so inclined, you can listen to me, you know, analyze the new canon on the literary aspects of Star Wars at Tarkin's Top Shelf. We'll be doing Life Debt tomorrow. Actually, we're going to be doing that show. So, yeah, that's – and also you can find me on Twitter there, too, just as it's all one word, Tarkin's Top Shelf.
Excellent, excellent. And last but not least, Craig, how about you, my friend?
Probably the easiest way to get a hold of me is Twitter, much like my compadres here, at InfluxMan. Of course, you can find my stuff on Coffee with Kenobi. I do the Rebels Reconnaissance. And so once this season does start up, I'll be writing reviews after every episode, try to get those out within the week. I'm Rogue 3 on Star Wars in the Classroom. Mainly Coffee with Kenobi is the best way to get a hold of me.
Excellent, excellent. And of course, we want to hear your thoughts and your opinions, as always, about the trailer. You can email the show at Rebel Reactor. Email the show, rebelsreactions@coffeewithkenobi.com. Of course, you can find the show on Twitter, at rebelsreactions. Of course, you find me directly on Twitter. It's the easiest way, at taharris121079, or email me at Coffee with Kenobi through the Coffee with Kenobi site, aharris@coffeewithkenobi.com. And definitely, we got a great season ahead of us. We got a lot to look forward to, And I look forward to hopefully having each and every one of you back sometime throughout this season to discuss these episodes as they come out. It would be a lot of fun, and look forward to having y'all back if the timing permits. So thank you.
Dibs on the Y-Wing episode.
Dibs on the Y-Wing episode. All
right. Oh, Mike, we're taking Y-Wing dibs now. Apparently I see we are, how you are. So. Well, Aaron, you know I'm going to be bugging you, so.
I know.
Just keep me in mind. I'll be chomping at the bit.
I already got you down for all the Mandos, Jay.
Sweet.
So. Oh, yeah.
And the Maul episodes. And Maul. No, I'm kidding.
we'll just set you up. You can run episode Thrawn, 1 through 22 with me.
The whole time. All the Ezra episodes.
And anything having to do with Chopper.
Exactly. Exactly. There's very little Chopper in this trailer. What is up with that?
I was just going to say that. We didn't even talk about him.
I've had my favorite character out of the show, and we barely saw him.
No, we got a glimpse. And yeah, I know. It was.
I'd like to know if they modified him at all in any way, gave him a little tune-up or added something to him.
Maybe they gave him the little torch thing that BB-8 has now.
AT-5, we didn't get to see him either. His new friend. So yeah. I'm hoping he's still going to be around too. But we're digressing from where we should be here.
Exactly. So we got a lot to look forward to as the season progresses. This is going to be fun. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Becca. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Craig, for joining me tonight.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you so much for joining us.
A lot of fun, guys.
This has been great. Thank you for listening to Rebels Reactions. Remember, may the Force be with you, and this is the podcast you're looking for.
Well, kid, you pulled it off.
Was there ever any doubt?
Yes.
Chopper, get us out of here!
If you would like to respond to our question of the show, have a comment, or just want to say hello, send us an email or MP3 at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or if you have a specific question or comment for either of us individually, email us at danz@coffeewithkenobi.com or coreyc@coffeewithkenobi.com, or visit us at coffeewithkenobi.com and click on the Contact Us section or comment on one of the stories featured on the site. If you enjoy the show, please write a review in iTunes or Stitcher. You can also like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/coffeewithkenobi, as well as keep up to date at our Twitter feed @coffeewithkenobi. You can also find us on Tumblr at coffeewithkenobi.tumblr.com. If you enjoy the jazz music, the album is Eye to Eye by Steve Torak.
This is Spectre One. I need a lift.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along.
If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, and much more. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for.